When our big Bible, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Verse 4. If the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, and leave not thy place, or leave not thy post, for yielding pacifieth great offenses. As you may surmise, I would like to comment on a transaction of our United States Supreme Court ruling Friday, June 26, 2015, on sodomite marriages. I want to talk to you about that. I received a letter from the Christian Law Association. It says the recent decision of Supreme Court has raised many questions regarding the religious liberties of churches and Christians, including Christian businesses and schools in America. While we cannot yet know the full impact and intent of the majority opinion, we do know that we will stand with pastors, Christians, church members, and those taking a biblical stand for the faith at this critical moment in our nation's history. We want you to call with any questions that you have to be assured that we will stand with you on this important issue. Below, we have drafted an initial response which, with much prayer and God-given wisdom, we can stand firmly for the cause of Christ in this great land. This is not a majority issue. This is a group of people who have tried everything they can to destroy our nation, whether they realize it or not. They don't know that they're destroying their nation, but they are. The United States Supreme Court has ruled that same-sex couples may exercise the fundamental rights of marry in all states. Even though, like states of Montana, that we voted that would not happen. Obergefell versus Hodges, 576 U.S. 2015. The court has stated the Constitution promised liberty to all within its reach, a liberty that includes certain specific rights that allow persons within a lawful realm to define and express their identity. The court has established same-sex marriage as a fundamental constitutional right based on the assertion of a harm principle, which, according to Chief Justice Roberts, by the way, you pray for that, brother, sounds more like a philosophy than a law. This is the Chief Justice. This is what he's saying. It is a philosophy, not a law. It was clear from the first sentence of the decision that philosophy and not law would be the basis of the decision when it stated in the Constitution promised people the right to define and express their identity. Chief Roberts warned in dissent that the majority decision is an act of will, not legal judgment. The right it announces has no basis in the Constitution or the court's precedent. Majority omits even a pretense of humanity, open relying on the desire to remake society according to its own new insight into the nature of injustice. Many people will rejoice at this decision, and I begrudge none their celebration. But for those who believe in a government of law, not of men, the majority approaches is deeply disheartening. That's what Judge Roberts says. So, anyway, you all got the Tribune, and they're so excited about it. Gay marriage now affirmed in Montana. And our Attorney General Fox has been fighting this. And he said the nation's highest court has spoken on this matter, and though I disagree with the ruling, it is now the law of the land. Well, the wisest king of the earth quoted, if the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place or thy post, for yielding pacifieth great offenses. God's word said that when the evil ruler rises up in our country, do not leave your post, even if the wicked vastly outnumber you and are in control, do not leave their place. Here's the stupidity of it all. They are not outnumbering us. And by the way, if they did outnumber us, give them a generation, there are no children to be born. When Justice James Kennedy says the Constitution grants equal dignity in the eyes of the law, and first of all, how in the world is sodomy dignity? I really do not see any dignity at all with lifestyle that God called an abomination. Those five justices who signed their names on this new law, they signed their own lives of destruction, damnation. Maybe not immediately, but I guarantee you by this precious word of God that it is not over for them. Mark their lives and watch. Jezebel was a terrible, terrible woman. But God gave her 38 years of mercy. And then they threw her out the window. They may be able to change the laws in America, but you will never be able to change the laws of God. Scripture says in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Isaiah chapter 5 verse 20, woe unto them that call evil good. Those that say evil is good, now they are under a great woe of God's judgment. They may lead others astray by their perverted values, but evil is forbidden of the Word of God. The Bible said they put darkness for light and light for darkness. They put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, men of strength and mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward, and take away righteousness from the righteous from them. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, as a flame consumed the chaff, so their roots shall be as rotten and their blossoms shall be as dust. Because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people, for he has stretched forth his hand against them and has smitten them. The hills shall tremble, and their carcasses are be torn in the midst of the streets. For all his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. On Friday, after the Supreme Court ruling, our president said gay marriage ruling is a victory for America. Now, folks, even an old farm boy knows that a heifer can't have a calf, and an old bull can't have a calf. It's not natural. And God says, and Paul said, it's inconvenient. It has just put America one step close to hell. I want you to turn your Bible way back, next to the last book of the Bible. It's called Jude. And I want you to begin reading in verse 14. Follow as I read it. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his ancient saints. Now remember now, Enoch is way back before Noah. You got that? That's how far ago. And what was he? He was a prophet. He prophesied. And this is what he said, to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them that are them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches and ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouths speak great swelling words, having men's person in abomination. admiration because of advantage. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust, strong desires, craving. These are they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit, but ye, beloved, building yourself up and up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. I hear a lot of people today, they're very upset. They cringe, they're upset, and they're going crazy. Hey, you know what? It's always been this way. Even in the time of David, you know, he tried to put away the Sodomites, and Hezekiah tried to put the Sodomites, and on and on and on. We have been blessed as Americans because, boy, for years we have been called the Christian nation. And practically every law that is ever made has something to do with the Ten Commandments. My son went down to the NRA national deal in Washington, D.C. about 15 years ago, and he called me up and said, Dad, he says, I'm in Washington, D.C. I said, yeah, I know. He said, every building has a Bible verse on it. Have you ever been to Washington, D.C.? Every building's got some King James Bible verse on it. Yes, it does. And it was there for a purpose. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation. I wasn't talking about Allah. I wasn't talking about some Buddhist. It was talking about Jehovah God, who created the heavens and the earth. And our country is founded upon that. Some of us old guys have been around a little bit. And remember when we used to walk down the street and a man would take his hat off to a lady and greet her. And when a woman came in the room, they stood up. And when they're also walking down the road and the preacher walked by, they tipped their hat and welcomed the parson. Our country's going crazy. We have just been so greenhoused. We have been so protected for all these years. Let me tell you something. In Iran, in Iraq, Syria, Africa, Christians are being slayed daily. Oh my goodness, we had 9 people killed. A preacher got killed and 8 other people in a church that were in a prayer meeting. Happens all the time. In other countries. And when something like this happens to us, we get very upset because we don't want people messing with our God. We don't want people messing with our churches. And all God people ought to say, we have enjoyed freedom. But when our president says that the gay marriage ruling is victory for America, he is not well informed. The Bible says in Isaiah 40 and verse 8, the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And Justin Kennedy, you listen to me. You listen to me. You can make all the laws you want in this United States. But I'll tell you something. You can't trump God's laws. God's word is always ours. What does the Bible say, though? Here's the blessing. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name. And we Americans were called by God's name. I understand this is for Israel, but we're called by God's name. Shall humble themselves and pray and seek thy face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. Friday, when I heard on my phone, it just popped up and said the ruling. And when I saw that, I just thought, I wanted to duck. I really did. I thought, all of a sudden I heard things going on in the United States and people getting killed and other people doing this and that. And I thought, well, we're asking for it, amen? We're asking for it. God have mercy on us. Now, I want to talk to you today about, is life really worth living? I hear that all the time. I hear people talking, preacher, I don't know if this life is really worth living for it. Well, I want you to take your Bible and go back with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Let me make one statement before I go there. If a person would come up to me today and said, I'm a homosexual or I'm a sodomite or whatever they call it, a lesbian or a gay person or whatever, I would treat them like Jesus treat them. I'm not going to draw my 44 and shoot them between their eyes. I will pity them for their sin and their blindness. If he's hungry, I'll feed him. He needs clothes, I'll clothe them. We are not here. Jesus said, I would that all would come to heaven, would come to Christ. I would all that would come to know the Father in heaven. So be very careful how you talk. Heritage Baptist Church will not hire anyone who lives that lifestyle. I won't hire a drunkard. I'm just going to go by the Bible. We will not marry a he and a he and a she and a she. Because God's Word said it was a man and a woman. Adam and Eve. We won't do it. And they're just the way it is. It's the way it's been, always been, always will. But I will treat that person with kindness. And I know maybe some of you have family members that maybe have that style. And I feel sorry for you. Because I know that hurts your heart. It's not that we hate them, but we just don't like that they're going against the principles of the Word of God, just like a person that's a fornicator, just like somebody's an adulterer. We don't like their lifestyle. We don't like that. We don't like them living together without the blessings of God upon their marriage. So don't make this just one thing. Make sure we're very careful about that. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, the word of the preacher. The preacher means debater. The debater. The words of the preacher, the son of David, the king of Jerusalem. And of course, we know who that is. That's Solomon. Imagine an assembly of Jewish people listening to King Solomon discuss some importance of this problem. Is life really worth living? For some of us, when we read it, his second verse says, vanity is vanity, saith the preacher, vanity is vanity, all is vanity. Everything's in vain. I hear the question a lot. Why do I need to live? What's worth living? Can you think of a more practical subject than today that we see? You can think of a better person to discuss it than Solomon? I don't think so. Solomon was the wisest man on the earth. He's a man of great wisdom. A man of great wealth, And because of that, that enabled him to experience everything of life. And his final conclusion was, vanity is vanity, all is vanity, saith the preacher. Well, first of all, let's find the problem here. Is life worth living? That's a pretty good question. And Solomon is debating this, the whole 12 chapters of it. Ecclesiastes 1:3, he states that his first conclusion, life is not worth living. That's what he says. I've checked it out. It's not worth living. Because life is full of vanity or emptiness. Then he states his reasons. Man is the only cog in the big wheel. Verse 4. One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also riseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. How many have noticed the sun coming up? Some of you haven't noticed the sun come up. You just think it's up there. But I tell you, at 4:30 in the morning, she comes up, amen. Yep. And about 10:30, hopefully you can get to sleep. I love this time of the year. I love it. I hate it when the equinox passes us, amen. And now it's on the wane, they call it. I love them long, long days, amen. Verse 6. The wind goeth toward the south and turneth about to the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. Thank God for the wind, amen. He said, I don't like wind. You get a day like that, and you get about a 20-mile-an-hour wind, it's pretty nice out, amen. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. I was just up in Glacier, and I thought, good night. Every time I come up there, Weeping Wall is still running. I call that Glacier National Park Motorcycle Washing Station, amen. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ears filled with hearing. Every time I go to Glacier, I can't get enough of it. The other day we took a ride with my cousin and her husband, and we went up by High Woods, and sure enough, we came around the corner, and there was a bachelor herd of elk. Great big old, this one bull man, he's proud. I stayed there until it got dark. I couldn't get enough watching them, amen. Huh? I said, you grow up, let me shoot you, amen. All right. Man says, I'm the only big cog in the big wheel. The universe circles around me. It's me. It all circles around me. That's what they say. Don't look at me like that and say, when you're hungry, it circles around you, brother, amen. Then he states the reason. What is man compared to the vastness of this world? Everything in nature continues century after century, but man is here for a brief space. Isn't that correct? The Bible says that our life is like a flight of a bird after its prey. It's over. The Bible said our life is like a vapor that quickly passes away. Bible said that life is like a tale that is told. In other words, somebody sits down and tells you a story. That's over. I buried a lady the other day, 95 years old. And the kids were weeping. They didn't want her to leave. I buried her son a year before, 60 years old. And the family weeped because they wish he was still around. But the sun's still coming up. And it's still going down. The rivers are still running to the sea, and the sea is still not filled. And the wind's still blowing. Everything in nature continues, but we die. Friday morning, I was working on this, and all of a sudden a phone called. Said, Sheldon, this is Dwayne, it's Marcia's brother. Don just passed at 9 o'clock this morning. I got on the phone and I called his wife and talked to her. And she said, well, he's very sick and we're glad he's in heaven. He said, by the way, Sheldon, did you know that Don got saved 3 weeks ago? And I said, thank God for heaven. It all seems that life is meaningless. Solomon said the word vanity 37 times in this book. It's all in vain. Since life is so short and man is so, sorry about this, insignificant, why bother at all to live? Secondly, he says man can't understand it. Verse 12, he says, I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and to search out my wisdom concerning all things that are done under the heavens. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of men to exercise therewith. He said, I've tried everything. I have looked at everything. By the way, he was the wisest man in all the world. And if the wisest man in all the world looking up things and checking things out, and he comes up with this answer, whoa. Solomon, the wisest man, when he tried to understand the meaning of life, guess what? He draw, a blank. He was baffled. How many wise philosophers have tried to explain life only to admit their utter ignorance? The wiser a person gets, the more he realizes he doesn't know. I remember when I went to college and the college professor stood up before our class and was in introduction and he said, for all you freshmen, you have all the answers. But that's all right. When you become a senior, you'll find out you have more questions than you have ever had any answers. That's good advice. Another question is it reasonable to live when we cannot understand what life is all about? Do you know what life is all about? If you do, I'd like to talk to you. Then he goes in chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, and he talks about man's pleasure. And he says, man's pleasure does not satisfy. I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove from with mirth. That's merriment, that's laughter. That's going to listen to some jokester or some comedian. Therefore, enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth. What doeth it? I sought mine heart to give myself unto wine. Boy, if I can just have another snort, if I can just have another drink, that'll make me happy. By the way, can I pull over and park here? I've never seen anything good come out of any kind of intoxicated breakfast ever. You listen to me. Don't you let the Satan lie. You said, well, take it, you'll learn more. That's a lie of the pit of hell. Stay away from that stuff. You may be a person that it'll get you, and it'll be like a snake that'll bite you, and it'll kill you. I know there's some people who take a drink and they go on, but you may be the person who's not. So the best thing to do is not drink in the first place. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on in churches today. They're talking, this is the age of grace, and so we have the grace to try anything to extent of, what's the word? Extent of, not a lot. Moderation. They're liars! Read Proverbs 20. Wine is mocking, strong drink is raging. And it says, if you're despised, you're a fool. I don't want to be a fool. I've got enough of that problem, all right? I sought my heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainted my heart with wisdom and to lay hold of folly till I might see that was good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heavens all the days of life. And I made me great works. I builded houses and planted my vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards and planted trees of them, all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens and had servants and born in my house, and I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. Then listen to what he said. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasures of kings of the province. I got me men singers and women singers and delight of the songs of men and musical instruments that all sort. So I was great increased more than any than all that were before me in Jerusalem, and my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever my eye desired, I kept it not from me. And of course, he had 300 wives and 700 concubines. Did he find joy in any of it? Oh, I'm sure he had some pleasure. I'm sure he had some happy times. But did he have joy? That joy unspeakable and full of glory. And then, chapter 2 and verse 12, he says, but death ends it all. One event, death, happens to both fool and to wise, the rich and the poor. A person labors all his life, then he dies. And he leaves his wealth to someone he doesn't even know many times. So is life worth living? Is it fair? The next four arguments seem to lead to a grand conclusion. It is not worthwhile for a human to be alive. I want to make myself very clear here. Solomon does not draw that conclusion, though. That we should upset the blessings of God now, he says. Go with me, chapter 2, verse 24. There is nothing better for a man that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw that it was from the hand of God. He said, okay, is it right? All these things come to us? Yep. He said, though they come to us, let me tell you something. He said, you enjoy your labor. You work hard, you ought to play hard. You ought to eat good. You ought to enjoy it because in life, and if you study Ecclesiastes, says man gets two things in this life. One, the food that he eats, and two, the love of his wife. That's all he gets. I don't care if you own a beautiful mansion and you have people that manicure your lawns and make sure your swimming pool is crystal clear and make sure you have the nicest dresses and suits and the best cars and the best motorcycles and four-wheelers and the best fishing boats and all that stuff. I'm going to tell you something. Let me tell you something. There's no U-Haul that's going to go behind your hearse. I buried a 95-year-old lady the other day, and she went to her grave with just herself. So the Bible says, you see, preacher, you're about to say something. Yeah, I am. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you'll die. That's a biblical principle. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. It's going to happen to all of us. So you better be happy the wife you have. First of all, she accepted to be your wife, which is an amazing thing for some of you. So you better enjoy her. And don't try to remake her. Just enjoy her. And enjoy the food that's set before you. If it's a piece of bread and peanut butter, bless God, hallelujah, it's bread and peanut butter. Hope you got some jelly. Go out there and go catch some fish and eat that fish and say, yum, 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 yum. Because God says, listen, this life is going to end. Quit all your fussing. Quit all your hollering. Quit all your griping. Quit all your putting people down and trying to make yourself better. Hey, eat your food. Enjoy the love of your wife. The Bible says, enjoy the blessings of God now. Enjoy them. They're your benefits. This agrees with 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. But even this living for today does not completely satisfy. In my prayer that I pray many times, I said, God, the waters of this world have never satisfied me. It's your living water that satisfies me. Because we're human beings, here's our problem. This is why we say, worth life is not worth. This is why we say, because God has put in our heart this thing called eternity. And we want something beyond today. Enjoy today. This may be your last day on this earth. You don't know that. You say, not me. I'm a careful driver. Well, there's some people out there not careful drivers. There's some people out there that are tipping them. Dangerous time of the year around 4th of July. I may be having a funeral for you next week. In fact, I read a truck that was carrying coffins that says, if you're texting, this I may have your casket in here. But anyway, pretty wise advice. Solomon backtracks. In chapter 4, and he says, so I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold, the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had not comfort, and on the side of the oppressors there was power, but they had no comforter. Verse 7, he said, I return and I saw vanity under the sun. He said, I return, chapter 9, and verse 11, and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift. This is an amazing scripture. Ecclesiastes 9:11, you ought to get it. I return, he said, I'm going back and I'm thinking over my thoughts, and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift. Remember the tortoise and the rabbit? Nor the battle to the strong. Remember Goliath and David? Neither yet bread to the wise. nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men with skill, but time, listen to this, this blows you people by, but time and chance happeneth them all. I want to say something, but I don't think it'd be theological right, but lucky. Time and chance. You've heard of luck of the draw. But God's providence is intermingled there. That's what the Bible says. Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe every part of the Bible from cover to cover, from generations to revolutions? Amen? Yeah. Time and chance happeneth to all. I'll tell you one big chance is I married Marcia. I have no idea who I was married when I married her. Oh, my goodness. I was kind of like the guy that went to the Cracker Jack, got a Cracker Jack box and hoping for the best prize. That's the way some guys get married. Amen? Stupid! But chance or God's providence sure helped me, brother. Some of you girls, I feel so. But anyway. Yeah, I thought some of you get that. Amen. It seems as though that he studied his argument in a deeper way. Now he is going to discuss the problem. The problem discussed, God has a purpose for our life. God has balanced life, birth and death, sorrow and joy, meeting and parting. Why does he do that? Two reasons. So that we will not think we can easily explain the works of God. He has made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world in their hearts so that no man can find out the works of God and make it from the beginning to the end. Oh, we're going to find out how this world is made. I hear that all constantly by these atheists and trying to disprove God. God said, no, you ain't going to do that. I know what time it is. I know it's hot. But if you promise me to come back tonight, I'll finish this. I'm telling you, it is the most amazing thing what God has given to us in the Word of God. Is life worth the living? Paul the Apostle says yes. Solomon says yes. Your life is worth living. God has a great purpose for your life. It's finding it and enjoying it. Enjoy life. I hear so many people, they're so upset about this sodomistic thing that came on across our courts. You know what? Yes, that happened. But bless God, that's not going to spoil my day from eating my food and loving my wife. Enjoying my children. It's not going to... I mean, I hear so many people so going crazy. Folks, you can't do nothing about it. These are the last days. In the day of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man, the Bible says. These are the things that are going to happen. Hey, if they don't happen, Jesus is not coming. I want Jesus to come. Jesus, come quickly. That's what he told us to pray. And I know some of you people, some I've heard, probably not you, but I've heard so many people, they're just going crazy about this thing. Yeah, it happened a long time, folks. And if you allow people in our court system to be so degenerated, Justice Ruth Ginsburg is not a Christian lady, folks. Give me a break. James Kennedy is not a Christian man. And I'll be honest with you, I think they're doing the best they think they're doing. We need to pray for them. Constantly pray for them. We need to pray for our president. I pray God that he'll get saved. You say, how do you know if he's not saved or not? Well, the Bible says, by their fruits ye shall know them. I question a lot of things. But we need to pray for them. We don't need to cuss them. Paul the Apostle, in his day, was under Nero, one of the worst diabolical kings of all the world. Yet he said, pray for your rulers. But the Bible also says, don't leave your post, even when the evil are in there. You stay right where you're supposed to stand. Heritage Baptist Church is staying where we're staying. We oppose same-sex marriage completely, always have, always will. We oppose immorality. We oppose drunkenness. If God's against it, I'm against it. If God's for it, bless God, charge! I'm for it, amen. And we're just going to keep serving God. Be careful what you say. You may have a chance to lead one of those persons to the Lord, and you're able to talk with them and tell them about the love of Jesus Christ. No matter how far they've gone into sin, God loves them. Be careful. You say, preacher, would you go to jail if someone said that, came to ask you to marry them and they were same sex? I said, yes, I'd go to jail. Say, what if someone came here and wanted to be hired and you would refuse to hire them? I said, I'd go to jail. I'd go to jail. You say, well, that's really... Well, I have this precious manuscript called the Bible here that tells me that I am to walk close to God and to keep this blessed book. What do you think if I was a preacher, I didn't stand to what the Bible said? I've been telling you for almost 33 years here at Heritage Baptist Church, love this Word of God, study the Bible, keep the Bible, do what the Bible says, and then I wouldn't do it myself. Shame on me. Father, I pray you'd help us tonight, today. Lord, may we walk close to you. God, please, I beg you, forgive our sins of America. Oh, God, please help us. Help us, these justice, to see their wayward ways, unbiblical ways. Help our president, Lord God, that if he's not a Christian, that he'd become a Christian. He'd see in the Word of God. Lord, you did that to Darius in the Bible. King of the Medes and Persians, you led him to you because of Daniel. Father, I pray you'd help us. Lord, you led Paul to the Lord. Why can't you lead our leaders to the Lord? Oh, God, help us to stand right, stand tall, fall on our face before you, read our Bible and be articulate with a passion to tell others about you. In Jesus' name, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today. You say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Preacher, would you pray for me this morning? Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you. I say, preacher, I just don't know if I'm on my way to heaven or not. You're here today and say, preacher, I'm going to pray for my government more. And I'm going to pray for these dear folks that have been blinded to this kind of lifestyle. I'm not going to be mean. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to ask God to love them in a way that they would see it. Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you. God bless you. Father, you see the hands of these dear folks today. God help America. God help these folks that are so blinded. Lord, there's somebody's little boy. There's somebody's little girl. Oh, Lord God, would you please help us to pray for them, that they would come to you as their Savior. Lord, I'd take care of the whole thing right there. They get saved. Their lives would change. Help us, Lord God. Bless these dear folks that are here today. Thank you for their willingness to listen. In Jesus' name. Let's all stand. Everyone standing here today, and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'd like to know for sure about that. Would you step out of that seat, walk down this aisle, and let me show you from the Word of God how you can know be saved. Maybe you're here today and you say, preacher, I'm saved, but I haven't followed Lord Believer's Baptism. Once you come, that's down into the water, not out of the water. Once you come. You're here today and you say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. You come right now. Once you come. Thank you. She is going to get your name and fill out her pamphlet for me, okay? You're here today and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I sure want to take care of that." Or you're here today and say, "Preacher, we need to follow you in believer's baptism." Or maybe you're here today and say, "Preacher, we want to become members of this church. Why don't you come at this time?" Let's pray. Father, thank you for what you've given to us. Thank you for these that have come today to join. Pray you'd bless them. Thank you for loving us in Jesus' name. Amen. I know these gentlemen real well. They've trusted Christ as Savior. This is Bob Wilson. He's the one that fixes my police cruiser at the county shop. I don't want to say county jail. That's where I made the first. No, I'm teasing. This is Josh Wilson, his son. He's a FedEx truck driver. And they want to join our church. And Bob said he'd like to have his family join too. So I told him the family has to come forward. Join our church. That's just a show of faith and everything. So anyway, we are glad you're here. I will accept a motion. We join and have these folks make that motion. These folks join. Is there a second? All right. Comments or questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Unanimous. Welcome to Heritage Baptist Church. Bob, Josh, God bless you. Amen. What a blessing. Amen. What a blessing. Well, you know what? I've done everything I could, but don't forget tonight, because I've got a half of that thing come back. It won't be long tonight, I promise you. I don't want you to... We're going to give out water bottles when you walk in tonight, amen? I thought about bringing Ricky and Ricky tonight with a squirt, like we do at Vacation Bible School, but anyway. All right, let's stand and be dismissed. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for these folks that have joined. Bless them. And Lord, help us to be a blessing to them as they're a blessing to us. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.